I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto has amazing selection for just about any kind of vehicle at reliably low prices. They have all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. So today we're just going to continue going through the free agent signings from the first day of free agency in the National Hockey League. We've gone through a bunch in part one, but there's a lot more to go. And so we will continue and pick up with the Seattle Kraken signing Philip Grubauer to a six-year, $35.4 million deal. And yeah, it's a significant investment in Grubauer, and as he's coming off a really strong season with Colorado. And there's some risk there because he doesn't have this long track record as a number one starting goaltender that you know is going to give you a reliable season. So there's some risk involved, but I can understand it at least that he's worth the money. The challenge here is that Seattle already signed Chris Driedger as a free agent goaltender, and then it sure looked like as part of the expansion process. And so it looked like Driedger was going to be the starting goaltender for Seattle. Now, Driedger doesn't have much of a track record either. Like, literally, he played 35 games and he played them well in Florida. And he kind of parlayed that into a three-year deal with Seattle. But if you're Driedger and you kind of have your pick of where you're going to go as a free agent, surely there was some talk about, well, I'd like to be the starter. And so now all of a sudden, and with Grubauer coming to Seattle, I don't necessarily think this was in the plans right away for Seattle. I think maybe they missed out on a few guys, and this is sort of, you know, plan B, because the Grubauer situation kind of stretched out till later in the day. And so now, I mean, Seattle, the advantage they're going to have is that if they're running a tandem of Philip Grubauer and Chris Driedger, well, now they've got a really strong goaltending tandem. And if either one of them slumps, the other one is quite capable of stepping in to do the job. But this does not seem to be the ideal way for Seattle to be spending their free agent dollars. So we'll see how this plays out, but I'm suspect right now. And so let's move on. New Jersey Devils signed veteran winger Brian Flynn to a two-way deal. He's been playing, I believe, in Switzerland. So Dougie Hamilton, though, that's the big signing for New Jersey. Big signing of the day, really. Seven-year, $63 million deal for Hamilton. And you will find the old-school hockey people who will say that Dougie Hamilton, you know, doesn't do what you need to do to win. But, I mean, if you look at Hamilton's numbers, he is among the absolute best in the league in terms of outshooting and outscoring opponents when he's on the ice. So if you're New Jersey and you've been kind of mired at the bottom for a few years and you want somebody who can drive different results, Dougie Hamilton should be that guy. Now, I mean, having to sign him for a seven-year deal at $9 million per is obviously a massive commitment, but Hamilton also should age reasonably well. He's a big defenseman, but he's also a big defenseman who can really skate and plays a lot of a finesse game. So I think this will probably have a positive impact for New Jersey, even relative to the money. But it's definitely the kind of move a team makes when they're trying to make a dramatic change in their organization. So, you know, credit to them for taking that big swing. Vegas signs Gage Quinney, a Vegas native, to a two-way deal, keeping him around. And Patrick Brown gets a one-way deal on a two-year, $1.5 million contract with Vegas. He's been a sort of organizational depth guy in Carolina and now Vegas, and, you know, gets called up and is serviceable as a fourth liner from time to time, and that's going to continue. The Buffalo Sabres signed Brandon Davidson to a two-way deal, keeping him in the organization for a bit longer. The Florida Panthers signed Carter Verhaeghe to a contract extension. A real bargain in free agency last year on a $1 million deal. Verhaeghe signs a three-year, $12.5 million extension that'll kick in after next season. But obviously, they got really good results out of Verhaeghe last season, and they're prepared to keep going with that. Buffalo signs Sean Malone, who had been in their organization before, to a two-way deal. Vancouver signs defenseman Tucker Poolman to a four-year, $10 million contract. And it's hard to rationalize that one because the numbers that Pullman have been putting up in Winnipeg on a terrible defensive team don't really justify a long-term commitment to Pullman. Like, if you were going to give Tucker Pullman a shot on your third pair and pay him $1 million or $1.5 million or something, I think you can make that case, but I don't know about 4 years and $10 million for Tucker Pullman. Vancouver also signs Justin Dowling to a two-year, $1.5 million deal. Dowling has been a good depth guy in Dallas for his career, and you know, some AHL time, but also some NHL time, and that's likely what's going to happen with him in Vancouver. Defenseman Jimmy Schultz signs in Buffalo, a two-way deal. Justin Bailey stays in the Vancouver organization on a two-way deal. He's another guy who, you know, might get called up, play a dozen games over the course of the year, so that will continue with Justin Bailey. Dmitry Yashkin, this was rumored leading up to free agency. Former St. Louis Blues winger who had gone back to the KHL, and now he signed with Arizona on a one-year, $3.2 million deal. And honestly, this is a really interesting play here for Arizona. And maybe they take it because they don't have to commit long-term financially to Yashkin. But if you look at Yashkin's kind of previous stint in St. Louis, he was a really solid checking winger who couldn't score to save his life. Well, in the past two seasons of the KHL, he scored 69 goals. That changes things a bit. If Dmitry Yashkin comes back to the National Hockey League and is a legitimate goal scorer in addition to being a solid defensive winger, well, then, you know, that's a pretty nice value. So I like the play here by Arizona to do that. Columbus signs Gavin Bayreuther to a two-year, two-way contract. And you might remember Gavin Bayreuther was Seattle's pick in the expansion draft from Columbus. It's one of the more difficult to explain picks by Seattle. And I understand maybe you don't want to take on the money of, say, Max Domi's contract there. But the one that I can't fathom why you wouldn't take is defenseman Dean Kukin, a right shot defenseman making $1.65 million next season. You know, not a lot of money, and you don't have to keep him. Seattle could have easily turned around and flipped a right shot defenseman as talented as Kukin. You saw how right shot defensemen were being valued in the free agent market. Believe me, one of them who has a $1.65 million cap hit would easily move. And so Seattle ends up getting really nothing out of that, their expansion pick from Columbus. So Gavin Bayreuther returns to the Blue Jackets, and Seattle goes without anything in that expansion process out of the Blue Jackets. And that one is... you know, tough for me to get a hold on. Columbus also signs Tyler Sakura to a two-way deal. As you can see, we're getting through some minor signings as well. Columbus also signs Alexandre Texier to a two-year, $3.05 million deal. He's been a promising young player for them, mostly in a depth role. Sometimes he gets a chance to move higher in the lineup. And really, it's a question of whether he'll score enough to kind of hold a spot higher up on the depth chart. The Calgary Flames signed defenseman Kevin Gravel to a two-way deal. And Gravel has, you know, played some with Toronto and Edmonton most recently. And so he's a serviceable guy to call up in a pinch. If you got some injuries, he can fill in. Dallas signs defenseman Andreas Borgman, who was most recently in the Tampa Bay organization. Borgman gets a two-way deal. Another guy who, in a pinch, if you need to call him up, you can give him a shot. The Dallas Stars also signed Alex Petrovic, the defenseman who, you know, rather infamously was protected by the Florida Panthers in the Vegas expansion draft in a move that cost them Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith. And then, you know, has barely played in the National Hockey League since. He's kind of bounced around to a few teams. And, you know, he's a big physical defenseman, but he's a big physical defenseman who's generally been playing in the American Hockey League. The Philadelphia Flyers signed veteran defenseman Adam Clendenning to a two-way deal as well. And Clendenning is a decent puck mover, but again, a guy who mostly spends his time in the American Hockey League. Dryden Hunt signs with the New York Rangers. And Hunt had been playing in Arizona, didn't get a qualifying offer. And he gets a two-year, two-way deal for Dryden Hunt. And so maybe he's not going to be in the Rangers' plans, you know, right off the bat, but he's also not a bad option if they run into injuries or somebody who can, they need somebody to play on their fourth line. Hunt, you know, while not a star by any stretch, is certainly a passable NHL player and will play a physical game, which certainly the Rangers, they've been fairly explicit in their desire to get that. Florida signs goaltender Chris Gibson to a two-way deal, and now Gibson will settle in as the third goaltender in Florida. They got Spencer Knight, they've got Sergei Bobrovsky, but with Chris Driedger leaving as a free agent, there's room there. And Florida also signs Juho Lomiko. That's a one-year, $750,000 contract for a guy who's been a depth forward for Florida, and I suppose that continues. I mean, at that price, you don't need much else. Boston signs defenseman Tyler Lewington to a two-way deal, as well as winger Stephen Fogarty. He gets the same two-way deal that pays $750,000 in the National Hockey League. And they signed center Samuel Asselin to an entry-level contract. Dmitry Kulikov, the veteran defenseman, ends up in Minnesota. The Wild, I guess, effectively need to replace some bodies on their blue line, and whether that's whether it's from Ryan Suter or Brad Hunt or what have you. Kulikov probably looks like he comes in as a third pair defenseman in Minnesota. They've already signed Alex Goligoski, and so the thing is, Kulikov, for the most of his career, been an inconsistent, not terribly reliable player. And then last season had some pretty strong numbers in New Jersey and Edmonton. And so you may not count on that continuing, but worth giving him a shot on the third pair in Minnesota. He gets a two-year, $4.5 million deal. Sam Gagner signs a one-year, $850,000 contract to stay with Detroit. Gagner generally seems like a good guy, a solid veteran type for a young team to have around. And obviously his production has declined in recent seasons, but at that price, being a good guy to have around who can fill in spots and, you know, play, he can probably play lower in the lineup, but if you need a guy to give you some power play time, he can do that too. Detroit also signed defenseman Jordan Osterley to a two-year, $2.7 million deal. Osterley had been playing in Arizona. If he plays on the third pair for Detroit, that's fine. He's not a bad puck-moving defenseman, but sometimes his defensive play is a little suspect. Detroit also re-signed goaltender Calvin Pickard to a two-way deal. He should be in their American Hockey League team. The Kings signed veteran AHL forward TJ Tynan to a two-way deal. Very productive in the American Hockey League, but you know, not so much when given a chance in the NHL. We will continue with more of these signings after this. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, NFL, and UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams make their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so continuing with free agent signings, we've got Andrew Agostino, a veteran AHL forward, has signed a two-way deal with the Ottawa Senators. He's a guy who will get called up kind of a few games a season, and is probably looking at something like that with Ottawa as well. Defenseman Cooper Zek signs an entry-level two-year two-way deal with the Philadelphia Flyers. Goaltender Craig Anderson, as the day was winding down, Craig Anderson signed with the Sabres, and Anderson is 40 years old, signs a one-year $750,000 contract, and really he was the third goaltender in Washington last season, did see a little bit of action, but the Sabres needed somebody to fill their crease, and right now Anderson is one signing for them, and then they also signed Aaron Dell, who was, I guess, the number three goalie for New Jersey last season. And so between Dell and Anderson, maybe one of those guys is a backup for the Sabres. They still need a starting goaltender, and you know, however you decide what a legit starting goaltender is in the National Hockey League, I think it it has to be something better than Craig Anderson or Aaron Dell. You know, maybe Buffalo is going to have to hold out on their Jack Eichel trade for a team that can give them a viable starting goaltender. The San Jose Sharks sign big defenseman Jacob Magna to a two-way deal. They also signed Nick Merkley, who they had acquired from New Jersey. Merkley signs a two-way deal. He's probably going to get a chance, you know, at least to battle for playing time on San Jose's bottom six. And Merkley has had some, you know, decent moments in his career. Was very productive in the American Hockey League in Arizona when he was playing with Dylan Strom, still kind of battling to carve out a spot in the league. Tampa Bay signs veteran forward Gabriel Dumont to a two-way deal. There's going to be an opportunity for Dumont to get some playing time in the National Hockey League, most likely. You know, Tampa Bay has really, they've had to clear out some veteran salaries, and that's fine. The price you pay for winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. But some of these forwards that they end up bringing in, we'd already talked about Charles Houdon. And if those guys get... get an opportunity, they may actually be able to play a little bit in Tampa Bay. And who else? Tampa Bay signs goaltender Maxime Lagacé. Now, as the number three goaltender in the organization with Brian Elliott as the backup, there's actually, you know, a chance that Lagacé could see some playing time in the NHL, because I mean, Elliott is 36 years old, coming off a pretty rough season. If he doesn't play well enough, you know, maybe there's a chance that Lagacé gets some time with Lightning. The Lightning also signed Darren Radish, 25-year-old defenseman, to a two-way deal, and Andre Schuster, 30-year-old towering defenseman. He gets a two-way deal from Tampa Bay as well. The Washington Capitals signed veteran defenseman Matt Irwin to a two-way deal. Irwin has kind of played a bit for Nashville and Buffalo most recently, is the kind of guy who, you know, might be 7th, 8th on the depth chart, and so could see some time in Washington, but also might not. Washington also signed defenseman Lucas Johansson to a two-way deal. They got tough guy defenseman Dylan McElrath signs a 2-year two-way deal, and goaltender Hunter Shepard signs a 2-year two-way deal with them as well. And so that's going to cover the signings through the first day of free agency. We've got a few trades to discuss, but we'll get into those right after this. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local auto chain parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, when you have computers with access to rockauto.com, at home, and in your pocket. Save time and money using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store. At Rock Auto, it's $216. That is more money in your pocket. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. So go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How'd You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. So I think we have covered all the players that have signed through the first day of free agency this year. No guarantees, I scrolled my way through the cap-friendly list, and hopefully we didn't skip anybody. But there are also some trades that have happened. And so let's pick up with the Chicago Blackhawks getting Tyler Johnson and a 2023 second-round pick from the Tampa Bay Lightning in exchange for defenseman Brent Seabrook. Now, obviously, this is Brent Seabrook's contract that is being moved to Tampa Bay. They're not actually going to be playing Brent Seabrook. You can see what's at play here. Tampa Bay setting up potential room on LTIR because Seabrook, that's where he's going to be spending the rest of his contract And in the case of Chicago, they're investing a bit here in Tyler Johnson, who still making more than $5 million against the salary cap, and is, you know, he's been playing kind of further down the depth chart for Tampa Bay. Now, the function there, that is a function of, you know, playing on a really strong team. Like, if you see Tyler Johnson play, you can easily view him in a spot higher on the depth chart than he was playing in Tampa Bay. And, you know, he's a third line center for Chicago, or maybe he slides up and plays on a wing for them somewhere. But in any case, it would seem fairly likely that Tyler Johnson will be in a top nine role in Chicago. I mean, otherwise, there's not much point in taking on the $5 million cap hit for three more seasons, unless you expect Tyler Johnson to be a significant contributor for you. And so I think it's a pretty major commitment here from Chicago to take on Johnson, but it also gets them away from the money owed to Brent Seabrook, this is, I guess, teams doing each other a favor, and at least in the case of Chicago, they get a player that they can use as they try and I guess become more competitive this season. The Blackhawks have been busy, and so adding Tyler Johnson, you know, maybe, you know, flies under the radar when you've also added Seth Jones and you've maybe added Marc-Andre Fleury, and you got Jonathan Toews coming back. And so there's a lot going on with the Blackhawks, and if Tyler Johnson can kind of fit in and give them another scoring option up front, that's pretty good play for them, I think, in the long run. Now we've got Chicago staying busy. They move defenseman Nikita Zadorov to the Calgary Flames for a third-round pick in next year's draft. And Zadorov was a restricted free agent who made $3.2 million against the cap last season. And you can understand Chicago not wanting to get into a situation where they're paying Zadorov $5 million-plus on a long-term deal. I mean, he has very specific skills. He's, you know, 6'6", 240 pounds, and likes to throw his weight around, and there's value in that. But his offensive game is virtually non-existent, and so it's understandable if you don't want to invest huge money in what Zadorov brings to the table. So in the case of Calgary, they're apparently going to be prepared to pay Zadorov, and I'm not sure that I would want to get into a long-term situation with him, but if you just pay relatively short-term, and if it's a little bit more money, I guess that's all right. If you're kind of filling out the depth on your blue line, Nikita Zadorov is fine. I think the concern is if you decide you're going to tie up real big long-term money in him. Carolina Hurricanes and Edmonton Oilers make a one-for-one swap. The Hurricanes get defenseman Ethan Bear, and the Oilers get winger Warren Fogle. And now both players are quite good, and I'm not sure why Edmonton is dealing away a good right-shot defenseman like Ethan Bear. Carolina certainly needs one after Dougie Hamilton signed in New Jersey, so you can see the appeal there. Now, Bear does not, you know, he does not replicate what Dougie Hamilton brought to the lineup, but Bear is a guy who can play in your top four as a right-shot defenseman, and is young, and, you know, there's some upside there. So I think, you know, a reasonable move there for Carolina. And in Edmonton's case, like, Fogle's a good player and a guy who drives play and sometimes has trouble scoring, but his overall impact doesn't match up with kind of the shot differentials that he creates. If you bring him in as a complimentary piece for the Oilers, he should be able to help. And so this isn't a case really where you say, oh, this team got a great player and that team got a terrible player. It's more a case of both teams are getting good players. From the Oilers' perspective, I'm not sure why they're giving up a quality right shot defenseman, because that's not an area of real strength for them. The Toronto Maple Leafs get the rights to defenseman Brennan Minnell for a seventh-round pick in next year's draft. And Minnell had been with the Minnesota Wild, but then had went over to the KHL last season. You know, when you're not getting a real chance to play in the National Hockey League, sometimes there's more money to be made overseas. And Minnell went overseas, and not only did he, you know, probably make some decent money, he had a productive season in the KHL. And so, you know, he put up 38 points in 47 games for Dynamo Minsk, 7 points in 5 playoff games. Like, there's, you know, reason to be optimistic, I guess, about what he could do if given the chance again here in North America. He was productive in the American Hockey League before he went over to the KHL. It just happens he's on the small side, and so I don't imagine that he's kind of part of the opening day roster plans for the Maple Leafs. But I mean, maybe he is. Maybe he starts as the seventh defenseman and works his way into the regular lineup. But this seems like a worthwhile risk here for Toronto to take for a seventh round pick, take a shot on a defenseman who's maybe been a little underappreciated to this point in his career around the National Hockey League. The Vegas Golden Knights acquire winger Evgeny Dadonov from the Ottawa Senators for defenseman Nick Holden and a third round pick in next year's draft. And that, I have to say, is not bad value here for Ottawa, given how disappointing Dadonov had been for them last season. And really, if you're in Ottawa's case, they're not the type of team who will continue to pay a guy who's $5 million against the cap if he's not producing. And that's kind of what happened with Dadonov. But we'll see where he slides into the Golden Knights lineup, because if you go down the wings in Vegas, they have quite a bit of talent there already. But if Dadonov is playing really anywhere in their top nine, that's a pretty nice injection of skill. And it probably works better for Dadonov to be playing with other skilled players there in Vegas. It's just, you know, catching him at a point where his value is not going to be at its peak after a tough season in Ottawa. And that same, I guess, goes for defenseman Nick Holden, who's going to Ottawa here. He was kind of on the outside looking in at the Vegas lineup for the most part last season. He was the seventh defenseman. But Holden, in general, his performance hasn't shown anything that he couldn't still play in the National Hockey League. And so he's a big guy, left shot defenseman who can play both sides. And certainly on Ottawa's defense, there should be a spot for Nick Holden to play in a regular role. And he's not going to be a massive difference maker, but he's a guy who's making like 1.9, I think, against the cap, and can fill a role at that price. The San Jose Sharks, we talked about them acquiring Lane Peterson from the Arizona Coyotes. Then they signed Peterson to a new contract. They send a 2024 fourth round pick to Arizona to get him. Really, I mean, all this would indicate to me is that they're prepared to give Lane Peterson a real shot to make their team and play for them. Because, you know, Peterson did get a chance to play with Arizona late last season, but, you know, has not done enough in the National Hockey League level to create real massive demand at this point. Then we've got the Buffalo Sabres. They've bolstered their blue line by picking up Will Butcher and a fifth round pick from the New Jersey Devils. And once the Devils had, spent their big money on Dougie Hamilton, they probably need to clear out a little bit. And Butcher was a natural to move. He's making over $3.7 million against the cap and was basically outside the top six on the Devils' blue line. Whether that's justified or not, I think can be debated. But Butcher has been a decent puck-moving defenseman. Certainly was when he first came into the league with the Devils, and then, you know, has kind of faded in recent seasons. But I think the opportunity to play in Buffalo should help Butcher get back on track, and, you know, we'll have a better idea of his real value when he's actually playing, even if it's playing for a bad team. So from Buffalo's case, I mean, they're taking on Butcher in part just to get a draft pick as sort of a sweetener in the deal. But I think, Butcher does help upgrade their blue line. Even if he's not the sturdiest defenseman, he's a guy who can move the puck, and he can even work a power play if you need him to. Calgary Flames acquired goaltender Daniel Vladar from the Boston Bruins for a third round pick. And, you know, once the Bruins started, once they signed Linus Ullmark as their starting goaltender, it kind of left things in a tough spot with Vladar, because Jeremy Swayman is sitting there in Boston, and the Bruins went out and they signed another goaltender for the American Hockey League team. And you can just, I guess, the moving out Vladar does maybe open the door that Tuukka Rask is still a possibility to come back to Boston. Maybe, possibly, but it really looks like, given the financial commitment to Linus Ullmark, and with Jeremy Swayman kind of playing really well for Boston when he got a chance last season, that Vladar really doesn't fit in the plans there for Boston. And so not a bad risk here to take for Calgary. And it's not as though Vladar is, you know, a likely future star for the Flames or anything, but he might be a capable backup, and that's really all you need. And if he develops into more than that, then you really, you know, then you really hit for some good value. But if Vladar is a competent backup behind Jacob Markstrom, then that's worth it here for Calgary. And other goaltending trade, the Seattle Kraken trade Vitek Vanecek back to the Washington Capitals. And this is, you know, picking up on the bizarreness of the deal that saw Seattle sign Philip Grubauer kind of later in the day, is that suddenly they were now crowded in the crease. And the real problem here for Seattle. So they trade Vanecek back to Washington, where he will resume the backup role. And Seattle gets a 2023 second round pick out of it. And the real problem here from Seattle's perspective is they just took Vanecek in the expansion draft at the expense of taking someone like Brendan Dillon, who you didn't need to have Brendan Dillon play for you at all. But he got traded, you know, a few days ago by Washington to Winnipeg for 2 second-round picks. That's the kind of value that you absolutely should have as an expansion team. That if you're going to go drafting guys in the expansion draft and turn around and trade them, that's the type of value you want in return. And so really here for Washington, they made out like bandits on the whole thing, is that Seattle takes Vanecek, you know, keeps him on their roster for a week, and then trades him back. And Washington ends up netting an extra second round pick out of the deal for Brendan Dillon, who they could have lost in free agency. And so, you know, good for the Capitals, but this deal does sort of, you know, shine a light on how things are going for the Kraken in terms of how they're turning their expansion assets into future value through draft picks. And so far, it doesn't appear to be going great. But there we go. That should get us through the first day of NHL free agency this year. It has been a busy day, a lot of movement. And so we will have lots of time to go through and decide on winners and losers and kind of break down the changes that were made and what will happen for the rest of this off season. But I wanted to kind of lay it down, my initial reaction to these signings and I guess trades here at the end, and we'll get ready to kind of dig in deeper starting tomorrow. NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford and Locked On NBA Draft host Raphael Barlow, as well as Locked On NBA host John Corrales, will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern. So that will do it for today. Also, check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast with the trade deadlines coming there as well. So things are getting busy. Find these podcasts. Subscribe on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. We'll be right back.